Shabbat Shalom. And today we are going to go over a message called The Sabbath, a Day of Sanctification. I was thinking, as I was this week with some new people, and we were going over a lot with Shabbat, and even it's Shavuot, there were quite a few questions, and recently people have been asking quite a few questions on the Sabbath day. And I think as far as a commandment, it's pretty simple. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's an easy commandment. But actually, and I did a message a while ago, and maybe I'll do it again. I'll do a message on each of the Ten Commandments. Because actually, when you look at the surface, on what we think, there's so much more to every commandment. Not making other Elohim above Yahweh. Graven images. Taking Yahweh's name in vain. I mean, I was part of a Sabbath-keeping covenant church for 15 years that pushed on that third commandment, and then they tried to say that Yahweh's name was God. So there's so much to each commandment that I think we miss, but I think there's none more, at least equal to, is the Sabbath day. In the day and age we're living in, it's very trendy to do Jewish things. And you meet a lot of people here in Israel, you know, that consider themselves messianic. I don't consider myself messianic because it's a messy term to deal with, except in the really the biblical sense of the term messianic, that I believe in the Messiah. I expect him to return. But you see that in this messianic movement that's in the millions of today, you see people that are very trendy into doing quote-unquote Jewish things. They have no idea that Judaism is a modern religion made in the second century with Rabbi Akiva, from basically the leftovers who didn't come with Yeshua and start the New Testament congregation. And most of the traditional things they're doing in Judaism today come from medieval times and even past there, you know, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. Some of it even coming from Shabtai Tzvi and the Kabbalah in the late 1600s, 1700s that are coming in there. So when I meet a lot of people and they say they believe in the Sabbath, you know, I used to say that. Do you believe in the commandments? Do you believe in the Sabbath? But now I say I keep them because the demons believe, and yet they don't, you know, they don't keep it. So I want to go over today the Sabbath, a day of sanctification. What really is the Sabbath for? What is the purpose of the Sabbath day? And how should we be looking at the Sabbath day, you know, in our lives today? I'm going to start in Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Very first thing for people, of course, in the Christian lines who do not keep the Sabbath, and some of them will say the Sabbath is Sunday. You can't find that anywhere in Scripture, or that the Sabbath's done away with, or whatever. Or some will try to say that the Sabbath was only started with Israel and Moses on Mount Sinai. But the very first words of the commandment is remember. So if you're remembering something, it had to be there to remember it. You know, last year at the school, I told the people the very first day to close the door to the kitchen because we didn't want to get rodents in there. And then all of a sudden, the second day, it was opened. So when I went into the class, I would say, remember to close the door. And then the third day and the fourth day. And then we finally got it fixed, the problem. But I would say, after the first time, I would say, remember. Because I'm telling you to remember something I already shared with you. So the same way here, remember the Sabbath day. How can you remember something that you never had before? To keep it holy. To keep it set apart. So the other thing we see is right off the bat that the Sabbath is not like any other day. You're not doing the same thing in the Sabbath that you do on other days, and we're going to see very clearly what the difference is. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you and your son, your daughter, your male slave, your slave girl, and your livestock, and your stranger who is in your gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all which is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. On account of this, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, set it apart. So right here we're going to see that the Ten Commandments in Exodus are not exactly like the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. And particularly the Sabbath day, there's a different aspect of both. Right here, the Sabbath day clearly is going back to creation. So how on earth can somebody say it only started with Moses when the commandment comes, he's telling us to remember it? Why? Because Yahweh set it apart at creation. The other thing we clearly see here is that you are accountable for people within your jurisdiction. So on your property, it doesn't matter whether it's a guest, or it doesn't matter whether it's a family member, it doesn't matter if it's your father or your mother, it don't make a difference. On your property, anybody that's within your property that's working for you or whatever, they must also honor the Sabbath day. You cannot have anybody within your gates working on that day. If I had a child who was of age and they didn't want to observe the Sabbath, I have this question all the time come to me from all over the world. Well, my child is 23, my child is 30, my child is whatever, and they're not Sabbath keepers, what do I do? And I tell them very clearly, you know, the same as I told my own parents, whom I love dearly and honor and respect them. But when they came into my house, they had to understand on the Sabbath, this is our rules. There's no compromise. There's no compromise, because it's not the rules I'm making up, it's the rules that Yahweh has. And if someone cannot honor those rules, they can't stay in my house. It's that simple, because I would be the one that's dishonoring Yahweh, because I'm the leader of the property, and I couldn't let him do that. So very, very clearly we see this. This is the precedent, that whatever our work is, we don't do our work on Shabbat. So the term that's used also, servile work, it would include anything, not just your regular job. If your job is computer programming, if your job is a landscaper, if your job is a truck driver, whatever your job is, of course, your regular job that you're earning money, you wouldn't do, because you're not to be working and earning money on Shabbat. But also any servile work, which means doing dishes, cutting the grass, doing laundry, anything that's a normal workload. And to me, I don't see, that's a blessing. You know, I remember years back when somebody said to me, you're putting yourself in bondage, you know, you're going back to that loan. I'm thinking to myself, I'm a new believer, I was working 80 hours a week. I was working from getting up 4 or 5 in the morning and working till dark. I was doing landscaping, come home, and then I have to go do estimates in the dark with my flashlight, do my bookwork. So I was working till about 1 in the morning, sometimes even up to 2. I'd get a few hours sleep and wake up and do it again. So when you're doing that 6 days a week and the Sabbath came, it was like, well, thank you, Yahweh. So I would say to someone that told me I'm putting myself in bondage, what do you want me to do, work another 14 hours? Would that make you happier, you know, if I'm killing myself? So I don't understand it. To me, since I was a very young man, I love the Sabbath. It's a great time. Because really, it's a time where no matter what's happening, you know, if they're foreclosing on your house, if you're sick, no matter what it is, for that 24-hour period, when the sun is setting on Friday till the sun sets on Saturday, you have the ability, through the Holy Spirit, to leave all of your cares behind and enter Yahweh's rest. What a blessing. What a blessing that He gives, and we'll see later. It was originally a creation meant to the world, but the world rejected it. Just like we read today, when Israel rejected their king, and they rejected it. So Yahweh took it to His children. And now the Sabbath isn't for the world. Because if it was for everybody, we wouldn't be sanctified in it. The original intent of it was for the world. The world rejected it. Yahweh brought it to His children. But as we'll see at the very end, it will be again to the world. When Yeshua returns, all of the earth will honor and worship Shabbat. So again, the first thing we see is we cease from our work. It doesn't matter if you're a fireman. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I've had people tell me that worked in some of these jobs or work as a nurse or in a hospital, well, I won't keep the money. I give the whole thing to Yahweh. And I say, Yahweh's not a prostitute. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. If He wanted all our money, He would say, give me 100% of your money. He has a tithing principle. The tithing principle is everything we increase, we give Yahweh 10%. It's that simple. So we're not going to violate His commandment and then think we're going to pay Him off and somehow that's going to work with Him. It's not the way Yahweh works. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what He wants. So it doesn't matter what your job is. And what I've told people many, many times, even if you're a doctor or a fireman or anything else, most people need off on Sunday. And most people want off on the holidays like Christmas, the pagan holidays, and Easter. So if you're that 0.01% of the people that need off on Saturday, it really isn't a problem in most cases. Because the people that all want off Sunday that you'll work for them would gladly switch the shift with you to do it. And you know what? At the end of the day, if you can't, then I'd much rather lose an earthly job than lose my eternal life. Because we're going to see, you break the commandments and they'll break you. And that Sabbath breaking, the penalty is death. It's the death penalty for Sabbath breaking, because it goes to the very core of who Yahweh is. If you look at from the fifth commandment till the tenth commandment, right? Honor your mother and father. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. If you look at all those things, Buddhists can do that, right? Or Hindus can do that. Or even atheists. There's a lot of atheists that are moral to themselves, right? They have their own type of morality. We're not going to say that every single person who's an atheist is evil and wicked and sinister. Of course not. But at the same rate, right, they're not accepting who gave these commandments. They're not accepting the creator of the universe. And the Sabbath day goes to the very core of who Yahweh is. So we see that. We see the first four commandments teach us how to love Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The last five commandments teach us how to love our neighbor as ourself. And the fifth commandment is both. Honor your father and mother. Yahweh is our father. The congregation acts as a mother to us. And honor our physical mother and father that we're born from. So it's extremely, extremely important. And like I said, it does bring the death penalty for breaking. Deuteronomy 5 in verse 12. Now this is the second time. Remember, Exodus is given on Mount Sinai when they're just leaving Egypt. And now Deuteronomy 5 is 38 years later. Little more than that. In the 39th year. You know, the year before they're going into the promised land. So it's a tiny bit different, the commandment in Deuteronomy 5, as we'll read here starting in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and shall do all your work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male slave, or your female slave, nor your ox, nor your donkey, even your animals. Showing Yahweh's love for even his creation. That Yahweh is even worried about the animals, because animals also need a break. Animals also need rest. You know how hard they're working. Nor any of your livestock, nor your stranger that is within your gates, so that your male slave and your female slave may rest like yourself. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. On account of this, Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So now in Exodus, we see the Sabbath goes to creation, shows the supremacy of Yahweh, right? That because everything he created was good, that we have to honor him as creator of all. But now in Deuteronomy, we're also seeing it has to deal with slavery. That it reverts to the slavery of our former life. So it's a day of freedom. And really, like I say, no matter what we're going through in this world, that we should also be honoring Yeshua, who is co-creator with Yahweh of the universe, and thanking both of them for the sacrifice that they did. That we're redeemed from the house of slavery. Israel was physically redeemed from physical slavery in Egypt, but we're redeemed from spiritual slavery, from the sins that were holding us in bondage for our whole life. So it's a day that one in seven, that can you imagine that he commands us? And face it, all of us have the best intentions of things, right? The year starts out, we might make a New Year resolution. I'm going to do this year. I see it even at the Bible school. I say the Bible school always works. There's never been a time ever 1 year that we've been doing it that it didn't work. 99 to 100% of the people that leave that school leave knowing what their goals are, knowing what their spiritual gifts are, and they have a plan of action. Unfortunately, 10% only do it. You know, because you leave and then you go somewhere else and you start doing something else. It's not that they can't do it. You know, we have a woman from Australia, probably our oldest student that we've had, that's doing unbelievable things. And even doors opening through the government. Ruzan doing amazing work with some of the things that she's been doing. And many people. But it's a matter of putting your mind to it. And it's the same during the week. Getting off on a little tangent here. There's many things we would love to do that we don't do. I love reading. And unfortunately, I have very little time now to read. And of course, I'm always reading the Bible, but I mean, there's at least 3 to 5 books a year that I like to read. I get my little hands on these pearls. And a lot of times you just don't have time to do it. So what Yahweh has done is knowing that this is the way life works. Knowing that if you had all this rain and now it's harvest time, that you're not going to let your harvest go, even if it's Saturday. Yahweh commands us. He commands us that at the end of every 6 day, we have to leave everything and come and worship him. And he's doing it for our good. Because I can tell you one thing. We know it physically. When you don't eat, when you don't drink, you'll die. You can only go several days, maybe a week, without water. You can go maybe a month without food. If you're drinking, maybe a little more, a little less, depending on your health. But you can't go without food and water. You can't live without food and water. And it's the same thing spiritually. You can't live without Bible study. You can't live without prayer. You can't live without regular fasting and meditation. You can't live without it. And Yahweh knows it. So he's made this a commandment because our spiritual survival depends on this. I'm telling you, I'm 32 years in the faith. I've counseled thousands of people through the years. People who were strong and fell away. People who were weak and fell away. But I can honestly tell you, I've never met somebody who fell away who didn't fall away from their prayer and Bible study. Every case, every time, there's no way you're staying with your prayer and your Bible study and you're staying your focus on Yahweh and you just fall away. And the same way, you don't immediately from day one come to the truth. It's a progression and you don't fall away in the day either. You fall away little by little. By a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less, and a little bit less. So that's why the Sabbath day, it's not just a day of sleeping. I've seen people that sometimes on the Sabbath, they'll just sleep 15 hours a day. And think, well, and it's good. We do want to rest. We do want to revitalize ourselves. But the first thing is spiritual regeneration. It's spiritual regeneration that we need. You know, because there are, and this is why I say, even in your regular life, we all have to work. 6 days you shall work. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Part of the commandment is working 6 days, not just resting on the seventh. But you know what? Yahweh gives us the free will and the free choice to choose where we're going to work for 6 days. So I could just as easily be serving people in a hospital than be working in a cigarette factory or something else. You know, it's not a matter of just killing time. It's not a matter of just making money. It's a matter of being productive. And think how productive the one day, the Sabbath, is. So for 6 days, we get to be productive. And that production somehow should go toward two things. Number one, it should go toward Yahweh and his work, somehow, and serving people, you know? So there's a million things that we can do out in the world, but there has to be something to it. Because like I said, at the end of the day, Sabbath's going to come and all of us spent, you know, 24 hours times six doing something. But why not do something productive in Yahweh's eyes compared to just killing time? So it's a day of freedom. It's a day of freedom because some weeks are rougher than others. There's trials that come up. There's things we're going through. There's suffering. There's sorrow. There's death. There's sickness. But it doesn't make any difference because every seventh day is every seventh day and the Sabbath is going to come and we could take joy in that day. And I'm telling you, there was a time many, many moons ago that I went through the roughest time in my life. And I say I was a covenant believer for about 15 years. Until I believe I was really saved. Because I didn't really think I understood the covenant at that time. And it was because I wasn't broken. You know, it took many years for Yahweh to break me. But when he broke me, the Sabbath is, I think, the only thing that got me through. Because it was almost like Job. I had everything going in my life. Anything I touched financially worked. Blessing from everywhere. And in a short period of time, just a few months, boom, everything went. And it was like, wow, what's happening? You're like, Job, this one's dying, that one's dying, your cattle's gone. It's like, uh-oh. And I'll tell you something. When Sabbath would come, that was my solace. Because I would block everything out of my mind. I couldn't wait to go to services and be with the brethren. I couldn't wait to hear those sermons. As a matter of fact, we had morning and afternoon service. I started going to both because I needed that extra shot from Yahweh. And I loved it. I loved it. It was like intravenous going through my veins. And when Saturday night would come and the Sabbath was ending and I would always say a prayer, tears would come down my eyes because I knew I had to go back to those problems. But yet for that 24 hours, Yahweh blesses you if you accept it. And this is what he means when he says enter his rest. It doesn't just mean extra time to sleep or extra time for anything. It means to enter his rest, to enter his peace, that we have an ability that nobody else in the world has. That every Sabbath day, we can leave Satan's society. And for 24 hours, we're picturing the millennium. And that's why we need to come together. Because again, there's judicial order in the congregation. And we each have spiritual gifts, as we're going to see. And it needs to be utilized. Because what we're doing is we're practicing for the kingdom. Every Shabbat we come together, we're practicing for the kingdom. Exodus 16. Go through a few more of the mundane things first, of the do's and the don'ts, because people do ask. And then we'll get into a little more of the spiritual meat here. Exodus 16 and verse 22, another principle that we're given. It says, "And it came about on the sixth day, they gathered double bread." This is when they're collecting the manna. "Two omers for one. And the leaders of the congregation came and reported to Moses. And he said to them, 'That is what Yahweh said. Tomorrow,'" so this is Yom Shishi, the sixth day of the week, "'tomorrow is a rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. What you will bake, bake, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that is left over to keep it until the morning.' And they laid up until the morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, and no maggot was in it. And Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. You shall gather 6 days, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it none shall be found.' And it happened on the seventh day, some of the people went to gather and did not find any. And Yahweh said to Moses, 'Until when will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Behold, because Yahweh has given the Sabbath to you, therefore he has given to you 2 days of bread on the sixth day. Each one of you remain in his place. Do not let anyone go out from his place on the seventh day.' And the people rested on the seventh day." So very clearly, also, we have the blessing of a preparation day. Yahweh gives us this, and we have to use it. I know in the States, many people I knew, brethren, that they would look up sunset 6:23, and they would work till 6:22, you know? That's not what it's about. You're missing the preparation. Then all these things come up. Well, how can we do this? What if we don't? They're going to restaurants because they didn't prepare food, as we're going to see. You shouldn't be going to restaurants. You're taking your sanctification away when you're doing that. But Yahweh makes it very clear. On the sixth day, we bake what we have to bake. We boil what we have to boil. We do our cooking on the sixth day. So there should be no preparation because, you know, it takes a lot of time. Cooking, cleaning, all these things. And like I said, the blessing is we're sanctified on this day. We don't need to worry about it. And if we follow the command of Yom Shishi, if we prepare on the preparation day, then we're going to be blessed in Shabbat. If not, what kind of feast is this going to be if we didn't prepare our food? You know, it's not a fasting day. There's people that will fast on Shabbat. And I say, in an extreme emergency, maybe, but hardly ever would I ever, ever fast on Shabbat because it's a feast day. You don't fast on a feast day unless it's Yom Kippur. So, in an emergency, that would be one thing, but usually. So again, all your cooking should be done on the sixth day. All the preparing should be done. No cleaning, no doing dishes, no nothing. Of course, if you're warming your food on Shabbat, nothing against that, but it's all the cooking and the preparation. Exodus 35. People misinterpret this scripture quite a bit. Moses assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel and said to them, "These are the words which Yahweh has commanded to do them. Work may be done 6 days, and on the seventh day it is holy to you. A Sabbath of rest to Yahweh, everyone doing work in it shall surely die." So again, wherever you see the Sabbath, it's 6 days work, seventh day of the Sabbath. Blows the whole lunar Sabbath out the window because it's not run in cycles of seven, the moon cycle. But here you always see 6 days work, seventh day is the Sabbath. He says, "You shall not kindle a fire in all your dwellings on the day of the Sabbath." If you look that up in the Hebrew, it's indicating industrial fire. As if you go on from here, he's talking about making all of the things in the tabernacle and burning all the metal and the gold and the men here who had the ability that Yahweh gave to do it. So it doesn't mean you can't turn on a switch of a light. Has nothing to do that whatsoever. It has to do with industrial fire, again with work, or even just a regular fire. Remember, before we had heat and coal and all those other things, it takes a lot of time to start a fire. You know, I was a camper since I was a little boy, and the first thing we would do when we would get up to the campground is we'd go out looking for wood. And then you'd have to get kindled, intermediate wood and big wood. You'd have to get it started. If you didn't have matches, that would take a lot of time. And it could take an hour or two, depending, you know, to get your fire started, especially if you're getting wood for a number of days. So very clearly, that would be work. So we wouldn't do any kind of making of a fire or industrial work, collecting, chopping wood, anything like that on Shabbat. Nehemiah the 10th chapter. In verse 29, he says, making strong their brothers, their honored ones, and were entering into a curse and into an oath to walk in the Elohim's Torah, which was given by Moses, the servant of the Elohim, and to keep and to do all the commandments of Yahweh your master and his judgments and his statutes. And we swore that we would not give our daughters to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land should bring goods or any food to sell on the Sabbath, we would not take from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And they would forego the seventh year in the interest in everybody's hand. So very clearly, now in Israel, most things are closed on Shabbat, but not everything. Not everything. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think that new Arab shopping center is open on Shabbat. So the fact that they're open on Shabbat, we shouldn't be buying from them. You know, we should not be doing any type of buying or selling. If you're not living in Israel, where everything is open on Shabbat, then certainly you shouldn't be out there buying or selling. Nehemiah 13 in verse 15, a couple chapters over, even goes into it more graphically. Nehemiah 13 in verse 15. He says, "In those days I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loaves and donkeys." Why? Because they're farming their farms all week. So they were working all week long, and now they're doing their reaping on Shabbat. "And also wine, grapes, and figs, and all burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them on the day they sold food. Men of Tyre also lived in it, who brought fish and all wares and were selling on the Sabbath to the sons of Judah, even in Jerusalem. And I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing that you do, defiling the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do this? And did not our Elohim bring all this evil on us and on this city? Yet you are adding more wrath on Israel by defiling the Sabbath day.' And it happened when the gates of Jerusalem began to be shaded as the sun was setting." So we see the day starts at sunset. Here's a very clear indication. "Just before the Sabbath began, I commanded that the gate should be shut and commanded that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates so that there should be no merchandise brought in on the Sabbath day. And the merchants and the sellers of all wares stayed the night outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said to them, 'Why are you staying around the wall? If you do it again, I will send a hand against you.' From that time, they did not come on the Sabbath day." Now, I've heard people try to use the claim, if you go into, let's say, a diner on the Sabbath, that you're forcing these people to work. I don't buy that, because they're working whether you're there or not. But what's here is, he's saying they're coming to you. They're coming into your palace. That we on the Sabbath, they should be sanctified. And that's the main reason I wouldn't go to a restaurant on the Sabbath. Number one, we're not to exchange money, so I'd have to exchange money. And the second thing is that the minute I go into any place that's filled with unconverted people, I lost my sanctification. I've given it up. It's that simple. The Sabbath is to sanctify believers away from the world. It's not to be with non-covenant people. It's that simple. So I think the argument is fairly weak that you're forcing somebody to work, because my answer is, well, if they weren't working, maybe they're playing golf. No matter what they're doing, they're certainly not keeping Shabbat. So, but at the same rate, it's got nothing to do with me. This is Shabbat. I shouldn't be anywhere near shopping centers, malls, restaurants, or anything dealing with the world. You know, it's not where we should be on this day. It's a day that Yahweh is setting us apart from all that. And that's why only on Shabbat is the day of worship to believers. You know, there's no Hindus or Muslims or anybody else who's keeping Saturday as the Shabbat. Christians keep Sunday, Muslims keep Friday. I don't know what Hindus do. They probably do something. But only Yahweh is Elohim of Shabbat. So right here from Nehemiah, I get this very, very clearly. We don't buy and sell on Shabbat, and we shouldn't even be anywhere near it. And he's closing Jerusalem to keep the non-believers out. It's a day we sanctify ourselves to each other. Exodus 31 in verse 17. And I'll read later the whole part of this, because it's the covenant that Yahweh makes with his children forever. The blessing of Shabbat, so it's a family day. But I just want to go over one verse for now, because it's a real interesting verse. Verse 17, it says, "It is a sign forever between me and the sons of Israel. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." He rested and was refreshed. So we know that Yahweh did not rest because he was tired. He doesn't get tired. But again, the Sabbath is going to creation. He's revealing himself to us through the Sabbath day as the creator of the universe. But the word I want to show is that word that says he rested and was refreshed. So for word for rested is Shabbat. He Shabbated, you know, which means cease from his doings, with his normal doings. Like we said, whatever our normal work is, we stop from it. So he's a creator. So he ceases from creating on that day and actually created the Sabbath by not creating. That's the way it was. But he was refreshed. The word for refreshed is nafash. Nafash. And there's only three times it's in the whole Tanakh, the word. And it has two meanings. One is artificial respiration, like giving breath. So it's like if somebody was in an accident, they couldn't breathe, and you're giving them artificial respiration. You're giving them breath. And the second thing is to recreate. That's the meaning of the name. So literally, that's what happens. Like we said, for 6 days, we're in Satan's world. And it's hard. And we're tired. And we're out there. But on this day now, we're getting his spiritual resuscitation to us. And if you lose it, it's pretty hard. You know? Remember, if anybody ever worked or saw, you know, like these medics that come, you got minutes when somebody is there and they're not breathing. Or they ain't coming back to life. And you have to work quick and resuscitate somebody. If you miss a Sabbath and you got to go 2 weeks without being resuscitated, you could die. And that's why he made it every seventh day without fail. There's no such thing as skipping a Sabbath. It's the seventh, the seventh, the seventh from creation. Yahweh's never skipped the Sabbath. How can we skip a Sabbath? And it's for life for us. It's for resuscitation. This day is so important to our spiritual life that, like I said, you'll die without it. You'll die without it. And what I've seen is the strongest believers are the ones that have a good Sabbath fellowship to go to every week, and they strengthen themselves. You know, because you're getting closer to Yahweh, you're hearing his ministers preach, and you're getting with each other. You know, it's a family thing. We're all using our gifts together. The hardest part, where people fall apart and fall away, is when they're by themselves, when they don't have anybody with it. And we see this. So it's artificial respiration to give breath and to recreate. So Yahweh gave us the Sabbath to give us spiritual breath. A sanguinating spiritual recreation. You know, literally to fill or pour up our spiritual gas tanks. You know, it's like you're running on empty. Friday comes, you know, and you're wondering if you're going to get through. The little light came on, you know, I got to get to a gas station. And Yahweh fills us up this day. And the same with the feast. The feast is like you find out, there's a second gas tank in this car I never knew about. So he doubles it up at feast time. And I'll tell you something. Feast time for me, for years, it takes me a long, long way. This trip we just took to Jordan revitalized my spirit like I can't tell you. And like I said, probably not next week, but the week after, I'm going to give a message on that. But man, it really revitalized me. What a great trip. And we need it. We need Yahweh's spiritual respiration. Genesis 3, in verse 17. Genesis 3 and verse 17. And this is the curse given to Adam. And he said to the man, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. The ground shall be cursed because of you. You shall eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life. And it shall bring forth thorns and thistles to you. And you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground. For you have been taken out of it. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we know it. We know now that if Adam did not reject Yahweh in the Garden of Eden, if he didn't cause his treasonous act, we would be able to bear fruit without all the thorns and thistles. But it is what it is. So now we have to bear fruit through thorns and thistles. And by the sweat of our brow. Some weeks are better than others, but some weeks are rough. But every Sabbath is the same. Every Sabbath is spiritual regeneration. Every Sabbath is asking his spirit to fill us and bring us to the next week. So we never have to miss a Sabbath. And can you imagine the blessing that that is? That only his children, only the ones that have his spirit, does he give us 1 day in 7 to leave that world. How wonderful. And to be able to enter his rest and to be able to prepare for his kingdom. Luke 4. This is when Satan took Yeshua up in a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he said, give all authority to Yeshua. Or he said, all authority has been given to him. And he can give it to whomever he wishes. And then he told Yeshua if he would bow down and worship him. So we know it. We know the kingdoms of this world. Yahweh allows Satan to have authority over them. And we know we have to go out there. And we have to try to bear fruit in Satan's authority. But what a great time that we get that one day in seven to leave the authority of Satan to come to the authority of Yahweh. Ezekiel 28. We know that Satan's kingdom from the Garden of Eden, once man rejected Yahweh's way, that Satan has financed his kingdom through a system of trading. And the word of Yahweh was to me saying, Son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, so says Adonai Yahweh, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am an El, I sit in the seat of Elohim, in the heart of the seas, yet you are a man and not an El, though you give your heart as the heart of Elohim. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel, every one of the secret things are not hidden to you. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have made riches for yourself, and have worked gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have multiplied your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. You know, you look at United States of America today, most people do not have money. But the 1% that own the stocks and the bonds and are doing all the trading, they have billions of dollars. But the average person has very little. Because this is Satan's system. In Satan's system, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And, you know, Yahweh is not taken care of. And that's why, like I said, we get the ability when we come every seventh day, we're to be nurturing each other and learning about the kingdom of Yahweh so we can go out the next 6 days and bring that kingdom to the world. By the example we set, if Yahweh gives us opportunity to share, and people see it. They see we're different than other people. But without the Shabbat, we're not different. We're not sanctified. Without the Shabbat, we're just like anybody else. Mark 2 and verse 27. And he, Yeshua, said to them, the Sabbath came into being for man's sake, not man for the Sabbath's sake. How sad for anybody in this world to think the Sabbath is a burden. How sad it is, because it's the greatest blessing that Yahweh has given his children. That he leaves the whole universe. He's an important guy. I always joke with people when I meet them. I say, yeah, I don't tell too many people this, but my father is really rich. And you see their eyes start going up. I said, no, I mean really rich. He's actually a billionaire. No. He owns the universe, all right. He's Yahweh. That's my father. And it's true. I mean, he has everything. He has everything. So the Sabbath came into being for our sake, not us for the Sabbath's sake. It's a day that Yahweh puts the universe aside and says, I'm coming with my children. You know? I know, okay, Iraq can wait till tomorrow. Okay, this stuff in Afghanistan, just Send a cherub, freeze it down for a day. I'm going with my kids. You know, this is Daddy Sunday. This is a day that with my kids, and nothing comes between it. And that's why I say, Yahweh never missed a Sabbath. And if he comes before us on every seventh day, where else would we want to be? But it's not just in body, it's got to be in mind. We have to enter his rest. It's the blessing he gives us every seventh day to enter that rest. Let's go to another point of the Sabbath day, Isaiah 58. We must rejoice in his rest. That's why, like Psalm 92, many psalms of Sabbath psalms, because it's a day of giving glory to the one who created all. And if we come and we're sulking, if we come and we're not excited, if we come and we're not zealous, then we're not really giving him the glory of that day, what he wants. And we're really not entering his rest. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn your foot away because of the Sabbath from doing what you please on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight to the holiness of Yahweh glorified and shall glorify him to the holiness of not doing your own ways, from not finding your own pleasure or speaking your own words. So it's just not a day of sleeping. It's just not a day of not doing dishes and cutting the grass or working. It's a day of entering his rest. And that means, like he says here, we're not finding our own pleasure. We wouldn't be going to a concert. We wouldn't be, you know, just going out and doing whatever, going to a ball game. It's not a day for pleasure seeking. So it's not simply desisting from work, but it's entering his holiness. It's a day of not finding our pleasure or speaking our own words. And sometimes you got a service going and everything's great, and boom, as soon as that amen comes, what do you start to hear? A lot of worldliness. And we're speaking our own words if we're doing that. You know, it's not a day for speaking our own words. It's a day for entering his rest and giving him the glory. He says, and if you do this, look, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and make you eat with the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Wow. We ride on the heights. If we don't find our own pleasure, we don't speak our own word. We must not speak our own words, seeking our own pleasure. Not a day to go, like I said, to concerts, sporting events, even picnics or family functions of non-believers. Not even a day for volunteering. I know people that have said they'll take on the Sabbath, they'll go every Sabbath to a hospital or somewhere. It's not for that. You have 6 days to do that. This is Yahweh's Sabbath. This is the day he's waiting for you. So it's not the day to be out there doing something else. Now again, if there's an emergency, we know there's an oxygen ditch. The guy's house is burning. We're not going to sit here and be worshiping while they're burning next door. If somebody is hurt, we would help them. But it's not a day to be going out somewhere volunteering to non-believers. You're sanctified from that. You have 6 days to work. Volunteering is part of work. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Yahweh has set aside the universe to spend time with his children on this day. Any work we do for 6 days should be service-oriented anyway, and not just wasting our time for earning money. We have 6 days for serving non-converted, and one day for giving total time to Yahweh and his brethren. So it's not the time to be going out there, bringing tracts, doing whatever. It's the time to be with Yahweh and your brothers and sisters. The minute you bring a non-covenant person around you on the Sabbath, it will immediately take away from your sanctity. It's that simple. Even sometimes people will watch videos on Shabbat, congregations, of somebody who sells their videos. And then they're promoting the selling of the word of Yahweh on Shabbat. So remember, the Bible says if somebody is selling the word, do not even invite them if they have false doctrine into your home. That includes watching it on a video. The video is the same as if you brought the person there. So again, and you could see it. I know I've seen it in my life that the minute you have somebody in your midst who's not a covenant person, it takes away from it. Sometimes you can't help it. You know, your parents might be visiting and they try their best. They try to honor it. But the fact that they're not covenant people, it's not the same as when you're with covenant people. And if you're purposely leaving your sanctity to go with non-covenant people, you've just lost your sanctity of the Sabbath day. That's the strength we need. We need each other on the Sabbath.